Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And what you need, baby, you've got it. All I'm asking for a little respect when I come home.
We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Ryan McDonough, as always, Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Ryan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good afternoon. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, always happy to have you. So let's just start here in Memphis. Obviously, we have seen the Grizzlies for a couple of preseason games now. Neither of them have come against NBA opposition. Ja and Jaren are the nucleus here. What is your assessment of those two and maybe how excited Grizzlies fans should be about them?
I really like both of those guys a lot. I was the GM of the Suns in 2018. During that draft, we had the number one pick. And Jaren Jackson's a guy who really impressed us throughout the workout process and a guy who was heavily in the mix to go number one that year. And what he did as a rookie last year in Memphis, I think, was what those of us who followed his career closely expected him to do. He showed elite potential on both ends of the court. And in a lot of ways, he's the modern NBA big who can score inside a little bit. He can also stretch the floor. He can protect the rim. And he's a high character, a high IQ guy. And then as far as Ja Morant, he was the only player in the draft that I considered putting number one on my board ahead of Zion Williamson. I ended up with Zion at number one, but for me, those two guys were closer than I think a lot of people had them. I really like Ja Morant. He's looked great in the preseason games I've seen so far with the Grizzlies. His size and speed and athleticism have certainly translated. Not only that, I love his feel and his creativity with the basketball in his hands.
You know, the Ja is coming in with such monstrous expectations. I think people who watch him at Murray State and just saw just sort of, you know, how fearless he was getting to the rims, how great of a passer he was, just to how complete basketball player he was there at Murray State. So he's coming in with all these expectations, but how difficult can it be and how difficult is it for, you know, a rookie point guard, especially one who's playing, you know, honestly, when you look up and down this roster with a bunch of other young players too, how difficult can it be for a point guard, especially as one as young as Ja, to get acclimated and to have the numbers people might expect him to have?
Yeah, I think he'll put up good numbers, but there will certainly be a learning curve, especially coming from Murray State, that is, you know, mid to low major competition. So the jump from there to the NBA, and look, it's a perimeter league right now, as you guys know. The best players, the players who dominate the league, are by and large on the perimeter, obviously starting with Golden State with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson when he's healthy, but then James Harden and, Russell Westbrook, and a lot of the elite players now are perimeter players, especially at the point guard position. And so if you go up and down the Western Conference and look at the other 14 rosters, there aren't many nights off. I mean, even the teams that aren't projected to be, potentially playoff teams in the West, like Oklahoma City, well, they have Chris Paul, and he's backed up by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, Ja will have his hands full. But again, I love his talent. I love his potential. And I think he's going to be right up there with Zion Williamson in the Rookie of the Year battle.
Ryan, we're trying to figure it out, and it'll all, you know, play itself out. But Josh Jackson, a guy that you know very well, can it still work, and sort of what has to happen for it to work, for Josh Jackson to sort of work out here with the Grizzlies?
Yeah, I'm biased with this one, guys. Sure. We drafted Josh with the fourth pick in the 2017 draft, and obviously the first 2 years of his career up to this point haven't gone as planned. I'm a little bit confused by the approach that the Memphis Grizzlies are taking. I mean, I understand that they don't want any distractions, and Josh has had some off-court issues. Now, at the same time, when they said he was going to go to the G League and play for the Memphis Hustle, as you guys know, the training camp doesn't start in the G League for another few weeks. Mm-hmm. That usually starts in late October to early November, and then the games start in in mid-November. So I don't really understand what the thought process was. You know, my perspective is if they don't want Josh Jackson on the roster, they can decline his fourth-year option, and they have about another week or so to do that, and then waive him, and he'd become an unrestricted free agent. So I think Memphis is probably exploring the trade market for Josh, but I don't really understand isolating a talented young player like that from the team, because although he hasn't played up to his potential the first 2 years of his career, guys, if you look at the two young studs in Memphis that we just talked about, in Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., Josh Jackson is the perfect type of player who fits in between those guys. He's young, he's athletic, he has some defensive ability. So I just a little bit surprised by the approach in Memphis that they're not even taking a chance on a talented young player like Josh Jackson.
Is it just a question of maturing for him, Ryan, knowing him as well and having done all the homework and having picked him and obviously had the trust in him? Just your person, is that what it is? Is it just, you know, some guys mature a little later than others, or it takes a little longer? What's been the issue in your eye?
Yeah, I think Josh Jackson's own worst enemy throughout the first 2 years of his career has been Josh Jackson.
Right.
It's been himself. And as you guys know, I mean, it's a high-pressure, high-stakes environment, especially when you're a top-five pick like Josh was. He was the number one-rated high school player in his class. He only played for 1 year at the University of Kansas, and he played very well for that year as a Jayhawk. So there's a lot of pressure and expectations on Josh. I don't think he's handled that particularly well through the first 2 years of his career. I was the GM in Phoenix the first year of his career, and you know, I thought he made some progress toward the end of that season, and then you know, last season was up and down, and ultimately ended up in the trade. So I think, you know, again, he's a young guy. I believe Josh is only 22 years old at this point, which is crazy if you think about it. I think he's younger than Brandon Clark, or certainly some of the even the young veterans on the Grizzlies roster. But you know, he, guys, let me put it this way: as you know, in pro sports, you can only really control what a guy does for maybe 2 or 3 hours a day.
Right.
What he does for the other 20 plus hours a day when he's not in your realm and in your grasp is up to him. And I think that's where Josh Jackson needs to continue to grow and continue to mature.
Ryan, is there anything that either party could have or should have done differently regarding Andre Iguodala?
Boy, I understand both sides of that one, guys, and it's a little bit awkward, you know, with him being on the roster but not part of the team. I think the thought process there is that, you know, as the trade market develops, there may be potential opportunities for Andre. But here's one of the factors to keep in mind: any player who signed as a free agent this summer around the league is not eligible to be traded till December 15th at the earliest. In fact, certain players can't be traded till January 15th. So the Grizzlies still have over 2 months until the trade market loosens up a little bit for Andre. They will have to pay him, obviously, you know, for his service, or I guess in this case for not his service, for sitting on the sidelines for that time. And then, you know, I think between December 15th and the trade deadline and the first week in February, they will explore deals. But it is, you know, a relatively high salary. It's, you know, I think everybody still thinks Andre Iguodala has some gas left in the tank and can contribute on a winning team. But to absorb his $17.2 million salary is a challenge for a lot of teams when you look at their books. So I'll be interested to see how it plays out. One other factor here, guys, is since Andre's not with the Grizzlies and is not going to be playing to start the year, I think teams, the other 29 teams, are going to have questions about what kind of shape he's in.
Right.
You know, if you can see a guy, if you can scout him, even if it's on a team that's not playing well, if you can tell he's healthy and he's in shape, usually that helps his trade market. I don't think the other 29 teams in the league will have that opportunity with Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, obviously we don't know like what players or anything like that would come back potentially or whatever, but in terms of just a framework of expectation, I mean, do you think a second rounder is kind of what you're hoping to get out of this? Like, what would be a realistic goal for the Grizzlies here?
Well, I think it'll be a little bit of a game of chicken, guys, because the teams that Andre Iguodala could really help, the contending teams, and, you know, I'm hearing the two in L.A., you know, the Clippers and the Lakers, in that order. I think Andre's preference is Clippers first and then Lakers second if he does get bought out. You know, they don't really have, or they don't want to trade a player in the salary range, say the $15 to $20 million salary range, to match with Andre Iguodala, especially given Andre's age and given the fact that he'll be an unrestricted free agent in his mid-30s at the end of this season. So, I think those teams will try to wait and see if no deal materializes and then try to get Andre in the buyout market. The Grizzlies obviously want to trade, but you know, I think maybe a late first that would be a great you know, addition for Memphis. And keep in mind, you guys know this, but Memphis got a first-round pick for taking Andre Iguodala into salary cap space when Golden State did the D'Angelo Russell deal with Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn and D'Angelo going back to the Bay. So any other asset I think will be you know, kind of icing on top of the cake for Memphis. And obviously, at least at this point, it seems like they're willing to wait and see if a deal materializes between now and the trade deadline.
Would you call the Lakers your favorite to win it, Ryan? I mean, would you just put Anthony and LeBron together? Should we all consider them the favorite? Do you, the Clippers with more depth than Kawhi, certainly. Who is your favorite?
No, I have the Clippers. Yeah, yeah. I have the Clippers one. Actually, I don't have the Lakers in my top three in the West, although watching the preseason games, I may have to readjust that because they look pretty darn good with AD and LeBron. But, you know, the West is loaded. As you guys know, the Clippers loaded up. I like not only their high-end additions with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but, you know, re-signing Patrick Beverley, bringing in Maurice Harkless. And then I thought they had maybe the two best bench players in the league last year in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. So I have them number one. Two other smaller market teams, guys, I'm really bullish on are the Utah Jazz and Denver Nuggets. I was up in Utah for their training camp last week, and I think this will be the best offensive team the Jazz have had, you know, recently, maybe even since the Stockton-Malone era. They really loaded up with you know, your guy Mike Conley, you guys know better than anybody, and Bojan Bogdanovic, and, I think the shooting and spacing on the floor for Utah will be different this year. And then Denver is just, you know, for me, just the continuity. Yep. They bring back Nikola Jokic, who I think over the next few years will continue to be an MVP candidate. And then they have a lot of young talent around them on the perimeter with guys like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris for a team that won 50-plus games and finished second in the West last year. So it's a loaded conference. I do think the Lakers will be in the top four or five, but at this point, if you put a gun to my head and said who's going to win the title in 2020, I would say the L.A. Clippers.
No, I like the pick, and I like the way you laid it out because I don't have Golden State above any of those teams either. And we saw Steph put up 40 points in 25 minutes last night, and you get the feeling we're going to see a lot of big nights from him. But I don't know, and you tell me, Ryan, if they're going to win enough games for him to win MVP. What do you think? Are they going to be high enough in the standings that Steph can win MVP?
Well, you make a great point. I mean, usually you have to put up terrific numbers like Giannis Antetokounmpo did last year and James Harden did the year before him. But you also usually, historically, have to be on one of the best teams in the league. You know, and I don't see that. I think Steph is going to have a monster year. That's another team I visited last week watching their training camp. And, guys, you know, you find yourself mesmerized just watching him shoot the basketball. Yep. I was just sitting there for, it seemed like an hour, just watching Steph shoot, and the creativity and shot-making ability he has is incredible and maybe unmatched in NBA history. Now, all that being said, I have questions about the Warriors' depth, especially on the wing. I think that's been a strength of theirs the past few years. Guys like Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala and even Sean Livingston are gone, and Klay Thompson is hurt. And then the front line right now, they have a lot of injuries to Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein. And so when I was there, they were even working out free agent big guys trying to find a stopgap. So I think Golden State may be in trouble. This might sound surprising to some listeners, but I'm not 100% certain they're a playoff team in the Western Conference. I haven't picked seventh in the West, but you guys know how talented and deep the conference is, and I think Golden State will need a lot to go right just to make the playoffs in the Western Conference.
We are, of course, talking to Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough. You can catch him on Radio.com as part of Scout and Pals. You can listen to that podcast or on the Radio.com digital network. What's the best way to measure, Ryan, the next few years of the Brooklyn Nets era? Obviously, they go out and they acquire Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, although we obviously will not see that full picture for a little while. What I mean, is it championship? Is it finals? Is it Eastern Conference? Like, what's the appropriate way to measure how successful the next few years are for them?
Yeah, guys, I'm not as bullish on the Brooklyn Nets as most people are, and here's why. One of the things we did when I was in front office is, you know, with a decade plus in Boston, in the Celtics front office, and then 5+ years with the Suns, was look at injuries and different injuries and the history of players coming back from those injuries. And the most concerning injuries to our great training staff in Phoenix was a torn Achilles tendon. And there are many examples of players who came back from that and weren't as good. And honestly, there are very few, if any, examples of players who came back from that, especially in their 30s, and returned to their previous level of play. So I bring that up, you know, relative to Kevin Durant. They signed him to the long-term contract. I understand why they did it, but I'm just curious to see. And I don't think we'll know for another year or maybe even 2 years if Kevin Durant's able to return to the Hall of Fame player, the all-time great player that we saw in Oklahoma City and Golden State. So, you know, I think they're good. I mean, I'm not as high on them in the regular season this year because that's never been Kyrie Irving's strength, is, you know, playing 82 games and leading a team to a lot of regular season wins. He kind of picks his spots. And, you know, so they've had great chemistry. They've done a great job, developing players, especially undervalued guys the past few years, like Spencer Dinwiddie and Joe Harris and Caris LeVert. Now, all that being said, the expectations will change. The pressure will change. And I'm interested to see if Kenny Atkinson and his staff can maintain the chemistry and camaraderie they've had the past few years, when I think they've overachieved relative to their talent level, especially this past season when they ended up with 42 wins.
No doubt. Hey, Ryan, this is great as always,
Thank
man.
You
we
for
appreciate
this, brother.
The time.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, and give me a call anytime. I'll come back on with you guys.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
He is Ryan McDonough, Radio.com, Sports NBA Insider. You can also catch him on Scow and Pals.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.